Okay, with Kendra Sherrill, Children's Film Festival Seattle. She is the festival director, a festival that's been going on for a long time. It's over, what, 18 years now. When did you start as the festival director?
So I started back in 2021. So I've only have 3 under my belt. But yeah, it started it's been 19 years. This next festival will be our 20th anniversary in 2025, so we're very excited.
So you started at, I'm assuming, an auspicious time with COVID and
Yes, I did. I sort of was responsible for bringing us into the new world of hybrid festivals. And so yeah, we started doing the hybrid platform, but also bringing we do a lot of field trips and traveling programs, and so learning how to bring that to have a virtual aspect as well. But now we, are still doing those virtual aspects because people have responded so well. So hopefully we can continue to do it as long as we can.
So that's what I'm curious about, because that's what's happening in the film festival world. I totally relate to that. So you do in-person festivals, but then you also do during the festival, also do hybrid kind of fest. Like, what, how does the process work?
So during the actual festival, there we have all of our in-person screenings, but then the entire festival is also available to stream online through Eventive, which is a typical festival platform. And folks can come strictly to the theater. They can do strictly online, or we also have hybrid passes, so they can come in the theater when they feel like it, watch at home when they feel like it. And kind of do that combo. And yeah, it's worked really well. People have really responded to it. I love the hybrid aspect because it really makes it more accessible, especially because our main audience is families. And so sometimes you just can't get those kids out of the house, or if you have other concerns, it's just makes it a lot easier for you to still enjoy these amazing films from around the world, from your home. But I will say, perfectly candidly, we are trying to get people back in the theater just because, like, that is such a magical experience, I think, that a lot of kids aren't getting nowadays, is the magic of the movies, smelling the popcorn, having this like collective experience of watching something and on a big screen. And so we are struggling to get people back in. Like, our in-person numbers are definitely lower than our virtual numbers. But I think that's just how the trend of things are going.
And like, there's obviously, we don't have to get into it, but there's also budgetary concerns, because renting a cinema isn't cheap, generally speaking, right? So.
And we're lucky in that we so I'm with the Northwest Film Forum, so that's who actually puts it on. So we do have our own theater, which is really nice. That helps a lot. But we're running into a really difficult time with distributors, actually, who are very over the fact of streaming and hybrid. And so they either want to charge you more, or they don't let you have a virtual screening at all, or you get a lot of pushback. So that's what, honestly, the audiences love it, but the distributors are what I'm having a real hard time with.
Oh, you're talking about the film, like the filmmakers or the people who own the films?
Understandably so. But so yeah, it's just trying to strike that balance.
Well, usually there's like premiere status, right? Like, if it's their film, is like they want it in the cinema first, if it's a premiere status.
Premiere status, but then also just like I think some of the distributors are a little paranoid of like it leaking. They really want like geo-blocks, which is like only the people of Seattle can access this virtual film, or only people on the West Coast, so there's a lot of rules around if they let us do virtually, which again I understand. So we're just trying to navigate that.
That's more for the, I'm assuming, for the features. The shorts are more, people are more like, they want everybody to see their film. Assume, like, generally speaking, of course.
Generally speaking, for sure, like shorts are always very easy, fairly easy to work with. If I'm working directly with a filmmaker, it is beautiful. I love it so much because I'm working with the artist. They just want their film out there. When it's like the distributors get in, it's a little trickier, but again, that's their job. But yeah, shorts are a lot easier to work with than features for the virtual aspect. Everyone loves the in-person. That's easy to do. But again, not as many audience members are coming in person. So it's like you have to kind of like juggle everyone's different priorities.
No, but you're, because you, the that was one of the reasons why I wanted to chat with you, because you guys seem to be a cutting, like not a cutting, you're doing things that not everybody is doing, right? So I'll get to the genre, of course, in a second, but you're doing the hybrid model. Like you're giving the best of both worlds. And it's like and almost like there was this distress after COVID. Like you got to go in person. You can't do hybrid anymore. You have to like, we don't, people are sick of that, right? I don't, do you get that pressure?
Well, we try to make everything as like safe and accessible as possible. So we're trying to hold on to the hybrid as much as we can, just because we're getting the feedback from the audience. Like they love it, and I totally get it. Like it takes a lot for me to leave my house, so I totally get it. So we're just trying to like listen to what the audience is saying. But yeah, again, I don't know how long we can keep this up, because of how tricky it is logistically, but I would love to keep it going as long as we can, for the accessibility reasons.
All right, so let's talk about, I want to talk about the children. It's a children's festival. So I'm just grabbing the line from your film, from your Film Freeway and your website. Basically, it's like it's the world's best and brightest films for tots, teens, and everybody in between. So do you, okay, so you make the, obviously they're films geared for children. Is there any children's films that you show? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We do have a shorts block every year from youth filmmakers, because we get, again, we want to like celebrate them as well and get them really interested in film. So yeah, we always have a youth made block, but majority of our films are, quote unquote, professional, real films, professional films from around the world that are geared towards children and families. So yeah, so we have a little bit celebrate our youth, and we also have workshops. We always have, like this year, past year, we had 7 workshops, for all ages, ranging from lots of different like filmmaking techniques, or we have some arts and crafts stuff. So we try to get kids as excited and involved about films while also screening films that the whole family can enjoy.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that, so is there like sometimes you when you guys are like kind of curating the festival, is there a film like there's like a scene, like what's the line of like a scene being too much for a
Yeah,
kid?
you would be surprised. People don't read on Film Freeway. Filmmakers sometimes batch submit, right? And so I can get some horribly violent or just like not meant for kids at all. I'm like, we're a children's festival, right? So yeah, but really, we kind of just have like this like internal guideline of, my biggest thing is the film has to be for children, not about children, because those can be very different things. Like, Stranger Things is about a bunch of kids, but like not meant for younger kids to watch. Like it's a fine line. And so we always keep that in mind. We try to, we want kids to like learn about the world and different cultures and languages and issues going on. So we try to find storylines that really will open up their mind, but again, in a very like accessible and safe way that will make it better for them to understand, and that their families feel comfortable bringing them to the theater for that. So yeah, but I have seen quite a bit of things that have no business being submitted to a children's festival.
People don't read, I guess,
No,
sometimes.
they
Like you said,
don't.
they're batch submitting, and they see that your deadline's coming up and you're got good reviews, and they basically, oh, I'm gonna submit to this festival, right?
And I watch every single film. I make a point to do that. So I watch
Oh.
over 500 films a year. And it wastes my time. It makes me a little mad, but again, I want to give everyone a chance. Maybe it's good, but yeah.
Gotcha. But I'm assuming as soon as you see, say, a minute of the film, there's a huge, there's a crazy violent scene,
Yeah, I
you
turned it off. I'm like, nope.
100% chance that you're not going to show it, right? So,
Exactly. Yes, I don't. If they did not read the guidelines, then yes, I will move on, unfortunately.
tell me about, okay, because I love the idea of children kind of learning this process. So tell me about the workshop. You said you had 7 workshops.
So every year they're completely different. We kind of base them on the theme. So every year, these past couple of years, we've been doing sort of a theme. So this year's was like outer space. Just, you know, because we thought it would be fun and we found a lot of space themed films, so that worked really nicely. And so our workshops were, we had a Foley workshop, specifically for like sci-fi. So kids were like learning how to make actual sound effects with like things from around the house. So that was really cool. We do a stop motion animation workshop that people love. We do a shadow puppet workshop, which is really cool. Kids love to like make their learn how to make their own puppets, and then we project it and they can kind of do their own stories. We also had we do this quite a bit, which is kids just love it. It's like a cake decorating class, but it's for fake prop cakes. It has nothing to do with filmmaking, but it's more for like the prop artistic like set deck type skill set. Because you know, some kids might not want to be a director, they might want to be
Yeah.
a production designer or an editor or something. So we try to like cater to different interests. But yeah, they and parents can come and participate too. Older siblings can participate. It's just really fun to get everyone with hands-on activities.
Yeah, is there any storytelling activities, like in terms of them understanding beginning, middle, and end, plots, themes, characters?
In the past we've had like screenwriting. We also have for like the really young kiddos, we have a story time with a local author every year, so they get to read their own children's book to kiddos, and then the kids kind of start to connect the dots of like that person wrote this story that I'm being read. And so just again introducing them just to the concept is really fun.
Yeah. Okay, so you were mentioning like some of these films go like where do they after of course they're their own film, they go into different festivals, but you guys showcase them in other avenues and other venues later on?
So we have a traveling program. It's called Best of the Fest. And so after every year wraps up, we sort of pull all of the award winners or audience favorites or our personal favorites. And we have a live action program and then an animation program. And we send them out, we book them out to venues across the country. Last year, we actually booked our first international client. It showed in Greece, which was pretty cool. But yeah, theaters across the country, I mean, they're looking for programming, and if they don't have the time to, you know, we dedicate a whole year of this, of curating, and if they don't have that time or capacity, it's a really great opportunity for them to then have family programming that they can just get from us and then screen to their audiences. So it travels across the country, which is really cool, especially for the filmmakers, because then it's like you get a, you know, good bang for your buck. If you get in the CFFS Festival, you have potential to then get into all these other venues.
That's amazing.
Like,
You just contacted the certain cinemas or certain venues, and you ask them if they're looking for programming.
We have a huge database basically of just all the research we have done over the years of independent cinemas, and we have past clients that we've worked with for years that always are waiting for our next batch. But yeah, we keep trying to get new clients every year too. But yeah, it's just like independent theaters. Sometimes it's like libraries or museums or community centers, like anything that wants to have some sort of film family programming, like we are available for them.
That's amazing. Yeah. So there's a certain audience, obviously, right? That travels well.
Yeah, for sure. Again, that's what I love about children's films. It's like it's universal. It can be enjoyed by all ages, and it just has such a wide reach. So I think it's cool to be able to introduce the magic of the movies to everyone.
That's great. So how did you get into this? How did you land in this position that you're in now?
Yeah, great question. Well, I've worked in the film industry for 10 years. I went to film school, all that, and I started realizing with my own films that I really gravitate towards making more like kid-friendly films. That's just who I am. And so I also had a lot of film festival experience back in college. And when this position opened up, it literally was film festivals plus children's films. I was like, oh my gosh, those are my two favorite things together. And so yeah, so I applied and then I got it and I love it so much. And I think I want to stay in children's media forever because I just
You're
it just
from the area then?
yeah so yeah I'm in Seattle, and then I also, in addition to this, I also edit a children's TV show here in Seattle called Look, Listen, and Learn. And then I also am the manager of development for the Children's Media Association, which is a national nonprofit. So I kind of, children's media is my thing.
And you basically got like you landed a great position. Like you said, you curate all the festivals. Like you're the curator. You're the director, and you also kind of you do a lot of hats. You wear a lot of hats, one
Yeah.
would assume.
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, all the logistics of the festival, all the fundraising of the festival, all the marketing, like everything. But my favorite part is the curating. Getting to watch 500, I get paid to watch kids' movies, all day.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty sweet gig.
In the Northwest Film Forum, they're the owners and operators of the festival. They created the festival and they hire you to they're your bosses, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the forum has been around for quite, I think we're already on our 25 anniversary. But the festival was started by Liz Shepard, who's an amazing advocate for children's media, and she was with the forum forever as well. So she started it, 19 years ago, and then she was the only director until I took over, which was very intimidating to take it from the person who created this legacy.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the forum, we do all sorts of programming. Like I'm kind of on my own island because the rest of our programming is very much like adult focused and like experimental, or we do a lot of rep screenings of films from years ago, and people have really been enjoying that. And we kind of are just a very indie celebrate independent cinema in all different forms.
That's fantastic. And so the person that you took over, are you still in contact with her and are
Yeah, she's lovely. She helped me a lot when I was first starting because I was like, what is going on? There was so much to learn. And she comes every year. She always comes every opening night, and it's just so sweet to continue to support it. So yeah, it's a great little family we have here.
And then so what do you hope for the future? Do you have any plans of growth or change in the future?
Yeah, we're really trying to like, again, figure things out, keep up with what's going on and the trends of what audiences are wanting. And like, I, again, like I said, I really want to keep the hybrid as long as we can. We're toying with the fact of even shrinking our program a bit more to make it even more saturated, so people really want, we want people to come back to the theater. As much as I love the hybrid option, we really miss having folks like bring their kids into the theater. So we're trying to like strategically figure out how to do that, whether it's be more big flashy, films that we bring in, or make the events bigger, or maybe shrink the programming to make it more condensed, so there's limited opportunity, so it's a lot easier for them to come. So yeah, we're gonna try a couple different things these coming years, I think. But festivals, it's always changing. You just have to keep up.
Gotta keep up, and there's a lot of them now. It's like there's a
Yes.
surplus of festivals.
Yeah. So luckily, like again, we're still one of the only children's festivals on the West Coast, or at least up here in the Pacific Northwest. So that helps. But still, yeah, it's hard to get people back in the theater.
Yeah, still, I guess, right? So it's
Yeah.
interesting.
Yep.
Well, because there's also many factors, not just COVID, but it's like the streaming services, there's more content.
Yeah, I
Right,
think
so
that's a huge thing. It's like, especially for families, like I totally get it. Like, you don't want to drag all your kids out of the house if they are perfectly content being on the couch watching Netflix. So, that's why like we're thinking we need to really make our programming very, very special, or flashy, or something that will like make them realize, oh, this is something I want to go in person for.
gotcha. And then it's you think it's just like a the way you program some of the shorts lineups, or make it more like
Yeah.
thematically like driven, I guess. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our programs are already pretty thematic. I'm thinking more of like features, 'cause like for an example, like this
Gotcha.
year we tried something where our opening night was a IMAX screening of Wall-E, Pixar's Wall-E, and like that sold out. Like this huge, it was 350 seat theater, bigger than our normal theater we rented out at the Pacific
Yeah.
Science Center. And it sold out. People loved it, So it's like I think making these more flashy, fun, unique experiences
Gotcha.
that you can't really get on the couch, I think is what's going to be our
Well, you
answer.
can sell the Disney, even though it's 15 years old, right? And it's like a lot of kids
Yeah.
haven't even watched the film yet.
Exactly, because they weren't born yet when it was in
No, but you
theaters.
can sell the Disney brand, right? And so it's hard to sell like an independent feature family film that nobody has ever heard of, right?
Exactly.
We're just being honest, right?
And that's where the struggle is, because it's like, obviously we want to support all these independent films and filmmakers because they're making amazing stuff, but we also have to balance it with like what will get people in the door. And then hopefully if they're in the door already, then they'll see these wonderful independent gems, and realize that there's more, you know. So and but I'm such a Disney Pixar girl, like I love it, you know. So it's is finding that balance of like big and flashy, but also celebrating the independent cinema of today.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm just curious, like you don't have to get into too much detail, but how does that process work of you being able to show the WALL-E film in a public screening and selling tickets? I'm sure that's
Oh
a
yes,
process.
it is an affair. So yeah, I can walk you through the process. Essentially, you have to work with the distributor that holds the title, and for WALL-E specifically, it was a place. It's a distributor called Swank, and so you kind of have to like give them, you know, how many, what's the capacity of the theater, how many tickets do you think you're going to sell, blah 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 blah, and then they come back with the deal, and the deal is either, Disney is very high. So a normal feature when you screen at a theater or at a maybe mainly like titles that already exist do it this way, where it's like $300 versus 35%. So sorry, this is getting too technical.
No, go ahead.
But it's like, so you either pay you'll pay $300 regardless. If no one shows up, you still pay $300. If you make more than $300, then they're gonna take 35% of what you made. So that's
After the
typical.
$300.
So like you always pay $300 regardless, but if you make more than 300, they want to take then 35% of what you make. But with when you're working with big boys like Disney, they came back with a $500 versus 50%, which is crazy. 50% of our earnings.
So
But you
you're not going
know,
to make any money, basically. What I'm doing the
exactly.
math to 360.
You don't make money, but you can make a little bit. But
Concessions, I
honestly,
guess.
yes. And so we had this conversation with our team, and we were just like, you know what? I think it is worth it to get the excitement about the festival, because it was our opening night. You know, to get the excitement of the festival, it helps with marketing and helps with getting people in the door. It is worth it to us. And it worked. I mean, we completely sold out. People just loved it. It was such a great energy. And then people did come back later for the rest of the festival. So for us, it definitely was worth it. But you know, yeah, you don't make a lot of money on these big, big, big titles. But for us, yeah, I think it was worth it. It was a really fun night.
The analogy I'll give is that grocery stores don't make money on eggs or milk, but basically you have to go to the end of the store to get the eggs and
To get
milk. They're yeah,
it, yep.
but you
Exactly.
got them in the store to go get it, right? So they're going to pick up something else along the way.
Exactly. Getting people in
There's
the
people in
door.
the room. So it's a good investment. That's amazing. Well, that's amazing. Thanks for your this is fantastic. I love the festival format. I love what you guys are
Thank
doing. You
you.
guys are growing and
Yeah.
you're keeping with the hybrid model. I just have one last question to ask you, more of a fun question.
Yeah.
What movie have you watched the most times in your life?
Oh, that's a great question. I honest so I think it's Pirates of the Caribbean, because that movie changed my life as a child, and it made me want to really get into filmmaking, and I watched it on repeat with director's commentary behind the scenes over and over and over and over again. So, and it's still, every time I hear that music, like it's just so nostalgic. It brings me back, and I love it. So I think Pirates of the Caribbean.
Was there like a crush on one of the actors as well?
Oh,
That
of
was
course. You know, I was a fifth grader. So yes, but Orlando Bloom was what brought
Oh,
me.
I was thinking the other guy, but yeah, that makes sense. Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom. But yeah, and also just like the grandness of like the fact that, yeah, just watching behind the scenes blew my little filmmaker mind. So definitely that
So you
one.
learned like the art of like, was it Gore Verbinski, the director? So you learned like from like his kind of behind the scenes kind of conversation about how the film.
And how they filmed like on open water at these
Yeah.
ships, and then it just blew my mind. And then also on the studio, on the sound stage as well, but like just how grand everything was, and the production design and the wardrobe and all the ships and stuff. It just was really, really cool to me.
Yeah, I read the book of a history of Disney, and they bring up that film because
Yeah, it was
it was a huge
huge.
chance on it, right? Like nobody
Yeah.
made money on pirate movies.
Right.
Johnny Depp wants to do some crazy experimental performance, right? And they're like, what the hell is going on with this guy, right? And it's like, and then the movie works. They thought it was going to be a bomb. They were so nervous about that film.
It obviously worked, and then they kept making more, which they should have stopped, but you know what?
Sure.
It's, you know, milk it as long as you can, I guess.
But it tells you that nobody knows anything, right? So big
Right. Yeah, it's always good to take risks.
And they got the Disney ride now, like the pirates at the Disney parks, right? They made a ton of money on that film. So
Yeah, for sure.
yeah, and no, it's great because it's like you're in that sweet spot growing up where like the DVDs, like behind the scenes and the director's
Yes.
commentary were going on, right? So like almost like a film school in a lot of ways.
It really is. Yeah, that's like all I watched as a kid was like the behind the scenes of every all the films. It was like, and it was before YouTube, really, you know, before the tutorials. You could find any tutorial now on YouTube, but so that was sort of the first little dip into into
And
filmmaking.
speaking of children, now they don't even know what a DVD is anymore, right?
I know, it's so sad. They'll never know those menus, the
No, but it's
DVD
great. Like,
menus.
listen, the hybrid's great in a lot of ways. Where, like, also too, where just to finish it off is that say they watch a film, like a kid watches a film, and the parents like, "What's that film? We gotta show it to our friends." You know what I mean? What's that little short film that we watched? It's like it works for kids. The kids want to like it. It gives you know what makes them wants them to see more, right? So.
Yeah. And it meets them where they're at. Like, this is their reality. This is what they grew up on, is like
Yeah.
the streaming. And so it's like, all right, well, we'll provide it to them there. And then, you know, down the line, maybe they'll come in into a movie theater.
No, because everybody, it's sort of like going to a show, right? Like it's people are always going to want to go somewhere, right? So sometimes it's like it's the film watching the film. I don't know. I think what your game plan is, I'm sure there's more smarter people with more advertising savvy than us, but basically the game plan's smart because it's like giving somebody a teaser. And like, oh, you want more? You can go into the theater, right? So it's
Yes,
like
exactly.
hear the song on Spotify, right? It's like, oh, no, you want to go see the play? Go see the play, right?
Yeah,
So, yeah.
exactly. And we're trying. We're trying.
Well, congratulations on your success so far. I
Thank
keep these
you.
children's festivals going. They're the future. And
Yeah.
I thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. I appreciate you having me on.